FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 11/20/18. Well, you know, the news never stops. You thought there was a 24-hour spin cycle. I think it's a 48-hour spin cycle that's been put into a 24-hour news cycle. That's for sure. It's impossible for anybody to keep track of it, but here we are. We're trying. Hey, so as always, we invite you to engage the show and email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, what's going to be with Trump's appointment of Whitaker as Attorney General? Is it legal or is it not? We all have our opinions, but we're really fortunate to have on with us now John Delaportis. John, you're a securities, federal securities attorney from my home state and city, New York. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Really appreciate it.
So what of this appointment of Whitaker to be the to head up the Justice Department as Attorney General? Matthew Whitaker should use his full name. He was Sessions' chief of staff, and Sessions was fired promptly, I mean, the day after Election Day, kind of unceremoniously dumped, but he resigned with dignity, and now we're in a new regime here. What's going on?
Well, that's right. Yeah, Mr. Whitaker is just the acting Attorney General, and so there'll be a permanent appointment somewhat later down the line, probably in the new year. And he was appointed pursuant to the Federal Vacancies Act, and so we'll just have to see who the final appointment is.
Now, the Democrats in the House are talking about a lawsuit to try to block his nomination. I've never heard of this before. How successful is that going to be?
I think ultimately it would be pointless simply because this is an interim appointment. And therefore, by the time the court were to adjudicate it one way or the other, the matter would be resolved with the permanent appointment who is to follow.
Right.
So it seems more a political thing than a legal thing, I would say.
So it's a political stunt, effectively?
More or less, yes.
Yeah. So when we see these kind of stunts, they're just there to make it look like somebody's doing something when they're not, pretty much.
So a political point apparently is being made, but it's not so much a legal issue.
And it's not being made very well, is it?
Well, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder. I think ultimately most folks don't so much care about this minutia of PC politicking.
Right. It's inside the beltway. It's not what you care about. You care about, like, the state of the country, the economy, and all these things, which up until the recent correction on Wall Street has been pretty impressive for the past 2 years. Will it continue is anybody's guess. But so we're left with a political scene here. Is the political scene going to spill over into the economic scene? Can you just isolate the two?
Well, it's always hard to tell, and predictions are invariably wrong in this respect. So far, the markets have been relatively stable, more or less. There have been some ups and downs, but a general upward trajectory. There is a lot of concern that there's an overinflation at this point, and so of stock prices and what have you. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, you think that that we're looking at overinflation of prices? You think they're out of hand? I mean, obviously, you're not a financial analyst, neither am I, but we do have our opinions about this, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do have my concerns. If you look at some historical measures, it would suggest that we are nearing a peak. But again, you know, all predictions tend to be wrong.
Yeah, well, you know what Yogi Berra said about predictions? Prediction is very hard, especially when it's about the future, right? So so we're no different now, are we? And really, you just have to wonder. But, you know, the market goes seems to go by its own logic, its own schedule. And regardless what you and I might think, doesn't really matter, does it?
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Couldn't say it better myself.
So on the political front here, much turmoil in the administration. We're looking at more departures from the administration and all sorts of interesting things going on here. You know, what does the average person, what are they supposed to think when they see this?
I think the average person probably at this point is in a little bit of news overload with regard to all this information. Yeah. And probably there will be changes, apparently up to 5 in the cabinet, but I don't know that necessarily will be particularly meaningful to folks. I think the overriding policies will stay the same, and therefore we should expect, you know, not much change in the way the country's run for at least the next couple of years.
Yeah. So what about the deadlock, though, that's going to occur between having the House in Democratic hands and the other three branches? I'm joking. over Alexandra Ocasio-Smith, who obviously, when they were teaching government that day, probably cut class. But you know,
seriously. Quite the character. Yeah.
Yeah. And quite the wit. half wit, I think. But you know,
that's another way to think.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I mean, she just opens herself up for this. Like my mother always taught me, and I'm sure yours taught you, John, is like when you don't know what the hell you're talking about, keep your mouth shut. But this seems to be her biggest asset, doesn't it?
Well, she's all personality.
Yeah. All what did they say? All cattle and no. I can't remember.
All
that.
Cattle and no hat.
Yeah.
No. Exactly. All hat, no cattle.
All hat, no cattle. Right. I mean, yeah. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, these are the people that we're charging with the future of the country. How do we wind up with people that know absolutely nothing about anything?
Well, you know, it's an interesting climate we're in. So, you know, I think we've gotten some characters this go around, and she's probably, you know, really one of them, I would say.
Yeah.
And so it's a, you know, she deposed defeated a pretty strong incumbent, you know, within her party. So, you know, I would not underestimate her.
Yeah, I wouldn't misunderestimate her either. Because, hey, you know what Will Rogers said, John? Ignorance got us into this mess, and ignorance will get us out, right?
Ha! Well, from your lips to God's ear.
Hey, well, I'll tell you, there's no shortage of ignorance when it comes to the public or our politicians, is there?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So
you know, I would say that to answer your original question, I got you off on a little bit of a tangent there about the deadlock. Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, we've had a bit of deadlock already in the prior 2 years by virtue of the Senate filibuster rule, which requires 60 senators apparently to do anything other than spend our money. Uh-huh. And so I think it's probably in some respects more of the same, which is that the Congress will continue to pass budget bills, which apparently they never have any problem doing and have complete bipartisanship over.
Yeah.
And any other kind of major reforms are going to have to be, you know, bipartisan in nature, which is going to narrow the scope of things that will be done over the next 2 years.
Yeah. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, in the past, when the public doesn't really understand what's going on or the magnitude of things, we've seen them just throw out an incumbent party from one branch of the House or the Senate or the president. There seems to be a preference in the country over time for divided government. You don't want to give too much power to any one party because we know what happens when one party gets too powerful. A lot of corruption occurs, right?
It sure seems that way. You know, for President Obama and for President Clinton before him, they only had all three. I've gotten into Ocasio now. They only had the House, the Senate, and the presidency for 2-year periods. Same with President Trump. Now, as Republicans. So there does seem to usually be a reaction by the country to restore balance, if one wants to put it that way.
Yeah.
It's definitely a historical pattern.
Yes. And it's repeating itself. And what's interesting is apparently it appears the economy is strong and, you know, good things happening in the country, employment numbers really strong. Maybe the most significant number is claims, new claims for unemployment at near all-time lows. And you would think that, hey, it's the economy, stupid. But evidently, it's not the economy, stupid.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian-Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, we live in particularly strident times, I'd say, politically. So something probably somewhat different than or more attenuated than in the past. But you're right that typically the national elections have traditionally followed the economy, but not this time around. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in 2 years if we continue to have this great economy we're having now and whether, you know, how the voters will react to that.
You know, I sometimes wonder, is it that great an economy? You know, little measures like the workforce participation rate, and, you know, the number, you know, just certain things don't really look all that wonderful. But overall, I guess the statistics have been good. But, you know, how much longer that can go on is anybody's guess, because all booms end with a bust, right?
That's right. And busts traditionally happen after excessive debt is taken on, either in the public or the private sector. And what we have here in our country today is massive borrowings in both the public and private sector.
Yes.
And many have suggested that's unsustainable. But whether unsustainable means there will be a collapse in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years or 2 days or 4 days or 6 days, there's almost no telling.
Yeah. I mean, as a wise man once said, the market can stay irrational longer than you can stay solvent. And truer words were never spoken. And, you know, it's very possible that everybody's panicked about a 10%+ correction in stock prices. We haven't had one of those in 10 years. And, you know, this is more or less normal stock behavior. The rally on Wall Street's been unloved from the beginning, from the depths of the Great Recession. And nothing's really happened to change that the public's attitude. You know, the old saying, stocks climb on a wall of worry. Well, we certainly, the walls are going up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Hey, one other question for you. You know, I know it's not your wheelhouse and all, but immigration policy. So Trump has used his executive order, his executive power to issue an executive order, basically suspending asylum requests at the southern border. A judge from San Francisco, what a shock, has pretty much you know, shot that down. It's going to go up on an appeal. What's your feeling? Under the Constitution and the immigration laws, the president has been given wide latitude and broad powers to control immigration into the country. You think push comes to shove, that judge's decision is going to hold?
I think all of these are going to have to eventually go up to the Supreme Court. And I think ultimately, yes, they will all be sustained. There's a solid body of precedent as far as executive authority to do just these sorts of things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, but we try not to be an echo chamber here because there's no benefit to that. It just seems to me in the current uncertain times, you know, the Supreme Court ruled on the ban from certain countries of tourists, whatever. And they
the travel ban.
That's what I couldn't remember. And they upheld the president's authority. And that was before there was any Justice Kavanaugh there. So basically, throughout history, it seems to me the president's been granted wide latitude in controlling immigration into the country. And it makes a lot of sense because nobody else is in the front lines able to actually get a hold of the situation. But just wanted to get your lawyerly opinion. Lawyers always love to give their opinions, and I'm no different.
That's true.
And so pretty much everything has been calm in the securities sector recently. You know, when we look at these cryptocurrencies, and I'm sure you got an opinion about them, you know, it seems that there's been a ton of manipulation taking place there. Bitcoin has been slammed. They're all in a major corrective phase. Looking ahead, what do you perceive as the future of these cryptos? I mean, just as so-called currencies, even though they're not, but that's what they've been.
Sure.
That's what they've been designated. So we won't argue with that. But what's the future going ahead? Will they be allowed to flourish and prosper, or will they be taken out like a like an unruly correspondent at a White House press conference?
I think that with blockchain and what have you, we're going to start to see a lot more SEC regulations. And probably the cream will rise to the crop and some of the outliers will start to drift away. So we're already starting to see that. The new president has appointed a new set of commissioners, three new commissioners, and they appear to be more friendly to blockchain technologies. And so I think we're going to start to see more them regulated, much like other kinds of investments are regulated. And yeah. I think that'll be the future.
You know, here's my thing, and you can agree or disagree, but it's kind of like the FDA, all right? We never find out about those drugs that could have killed us, like the thalidomide and all that, because the FDA keeps them out. But they also keep a lot of good stuff out, too. But I'm thinking that cryptocurrencies have got all of these unintended consequences, all of these other aspects. It's the Wild West out there, you know, because even though SEC rules might apply if they're issued here in the U.S., if I issue them in some backwater of the world, or maybe I even issue them in the Cayman Islands, then whose laws apply to what? You know, the resales, they're so easily resellable. I think there's a real nasty side of this coming that nobody anticipated, and that no reasonable regulator could be charged with ever being able to control it. I think it's uncontrollable, and it's going to end really badly for a lot of people.
Well, we shall see. It's very hard to say, but there's probably a lot of truth to what you just said.
And we're in the infancy of them too. You know, if it's a baseball game, we're in the top of the second inning, and nobody knows who's going to be at bat. So, hey, let me ask you a question here. If we want to find out more about you, John, and read your work, is there a place we can go? I saw you had a USA Today story.
My firm has a website. It's kellydry.com. And you can find everything there.
All right. Excellent. So we'll have a link to the site. Appreciate you coming on. And actually, that wasn't your article, is one you cited about Attorney General Sessions. Just before we go, so turmoil administrations, every president has the right to have the people they want in the office as long as they meet the standards here. But we've never seen quite the revolving door in the White House that we've seen in the past 2 years, have we?
Well, definitely it's a new style, new style of administration.
You're so diplomatic, John. We appreciate that. Hey, it was great having you back on. As always, guys, anything John said or I said you want to discuss, email me, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. John, hey, I guarantee you, even though we're heading to the slow news part of the year, I don't think it's going to be that slow this year. So we'll look forward to speaking with you after the first of the year. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for coming on.
You too. Thanks. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Bye-bye.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.